the new book, Overweight Sensation, The Life and Comedy of Alan Sherman, is the first biography of the groundbreaking Jewish song parodist and humorist.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner. He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters. And the lake has alligators. And the head coach wants no sissies. So he reads to us from something called Ulysses.
Alan Sherman played Carnegie Hall, befriended Harpo Marx, discovered and produced Bill Cosby, and sang for the National Press Club, the U.S. Department of Labor, and Lyndon Johnson's presidential campaign. Mark Cohen is the leading expert on Alan Sherman. He is the author of the new book, Overweight Sensation, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Give us a sense of how you came to this project and came to investigate this life of this very funny man.
Well, probably like a lot of your listeners, I was a childhood fan of Alan Sherman. I grew up in New York, and in my parents' basement, we had My Son the Folk Singer and My Son the Nut. And I enjoyed those albums enormously, played them all the time. I loved the wordplay. He was a very adept, Sherman was, at writing songs that both children and adults could get enormous pleasure from. So I always liked his stuff. And much, much later, I had stumbled upon his autobiography. I didn't even know there was one, called A Gift of Laughter. And in reading it, I felt, if half the stuff in here is true, this is a fantastic story. And when I started doing more serious writing in my life, I remembered that and went back and found that not only was everything in the book true, but there was more stuff that he didn't put in the book that was also true, and it made an incredible story.
For him, for his life, which came first? Was it the music? Was it the comedy? What was his goal in that originally?
In his life, comedy was first. I found and put in the biography, in junior high school, he was already writing song parodies. In 1938, he was 14 years old, 13 and a half, and he wrote a parody of the famous Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. In Sherman's parody, he wrote, Humpty Dumpty sat on a train, happily singing, Bemir Bistushain. Now, that little rhyme summarizes everything about Sherman. Bemir Bistushain was a big hit in the late 30s for the Andrews sisters, and it was an originally Yiddish tune that became an English language hit. And you have Sherman singing very happily. You have Sherman as a Humpty Dumpty, which indicates his weight problem, and also his fragility and his personal tenderness, damage early in life. So there was the problems of his childhood, which drew him to comedy, which helped him deal with life and made life a whole lot more fun for all his listeners as well.
And then once you have those early roots, then how do you make a career out of it in the sense of going the next step of saying, this is what I'm going to do with my life?
Well, that's a really tough road, and it wasn't any easier for Alan Sherman. He worked as a television producer in New York during the 1950s on the I've Got a Secret game show, and on the weekends he would play for his friends, sing for his friends, I should say, parodies of the Broadway musicals that he was writing just for fun. He turned There Is Nothing Like a Dame from South Pacific into There Is Nothing Like a Lox. He wrote a famous parody of the famous song, When You Walk Through a Storm from Carousel. He called it when you walk through the Bronx. So he was working at it. He kept his day job, and he kept working at writing these song parodies and entertaining people. But it wasn't until he moved to Los Angeles and moved in next door to Harpo Marx, and the two became friends. And Harpo introduced Sherman to all the famous comedians that, of course, Harpo knew. And then word started getting around that there was a fellow in town who sings these very funny song parodies. And word got to Warner Brothers Records, and a deal was made, and he produced that first album, My Son the Folk Singer, and then things took off. It was an instant, extraordinary success.
It's safe to say that his most popular individual song was Hella Mudda, Hella Fada, and that was on his third album, right?
That's right. I mean, today we think he became famous for Hello Mudda, but that was not the case at all. He became famous in late 1962 for My Son the Folk Singer, which were largely Jewish parodies of famous folk songs. And the big radio hit in 1962 was his parody of Frère Jacques, which he sang as Sarah Jachman. So it was done as a telephone conversation between Jerry Bachman and Sarah Jachman, and How's By You, How's By You, instead of the Dormez-vous. It was a very clever substitution. The sounds were carefully crafted to resemble the original, but of course with completely different content. And the country was ready for ethnic content. That's one of the things that happened in late 62 when he became famous. There had been a long period since the end of immigration to the country in 1924, and then the Depression years, and then, of course, the World War II years. And by the end of the 1950s, the very, very early 1960s, you had millions and millions of Americans who traced their origins in this country to their parents who arrived around the turn of the 20th century. And there was very little recognition of that enormous population of people in the popular culture. So when Sherman started doing this in 62, there was a pent-up need for a recognition that, hey, our parents don't speak standard English. They just got here. You know, everyone, Italians, Greeks, people who spoke Spanish, Jews, everyone in the 60s, they had parents who arrived in the 10s, in the 20s of the 20th century, and they went to visit their parents, and their parents were sprinkling their English with foreign words, and Sherman broke that open, and it was an enormous hit.
When you think of song parodists of the day, of whether it be Spike Jonze or Stan Freberg and later Weird Al, they would all record in studio. Alan Sherman was doing much of this live, and you would hear the audience laugh, and to me that made it a very intimate experience.
Yes, it was part of the enjoyment, I think, of listening to the records, that there was this live audience who truly did not know what they were about to hear, and the laughter, the enjoyment that was captured on the albums, echoed and mirrored the enjoyment that people were having in their own homes, and it's created a sense of community with the people in the recording studio. You were at home laughing, and you understood why the people on the record were laughing, and it created this sense of community that everyone was enjoying the same thing at the same time for the same reason, and it was a terrific idea for them to do that, and it worked very well for the listener at home, and I know I enjoyed it as a kid listening to it as well. It just added to just enjoyment, the enjoyment. And as the son of Harpo Marx told me, one thing you have to remember about Alan is he loved to make people laugh. He loved to make people laugh. And, you know, we can get into all sorts of things about the meaning of his albums and so forth, but I think one of the reasons he's so beloved is because he was so determined and to make people laugh, and he was very, very good at it.
He passed away at the age of 49. He was really in his prime, wasn't he?
Well, he should have been in his prime at that age because it's a relatively young age, of course. But unfortunately, he wasn't in his prime because he treated himself so badly. All of the problems of his early childhood that he was able to overcome through comedy in his 30s, when his popularity waned in the late 60s, when the late 60s became an environment that was, you know, most well-known, of course, today for good reason, for a completely different kind of music, his bad habits and his self-destructive habits took over. And by the time he died, just shy of his 49th birthday, he was really in terrible shape. He had been heavily smoking for years, heavily drinking for years, and he really wore himself out. He just wore himself out.
But you write in the book of how busy he was. I mean, he was still working in this period.
He, you know, what's fascinating is even at the end of his life, he was producing new works, and some of which were just wonderful. I discovered a never-published book-length children's work, a work for children, called The Trip to the Perfectly Fair. And it was inspired by Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat, which he had worked on an animated version that appeared on television. He provided the voice of the cat. And he was inspired to write his own style of Cat in the Hat story about two children at home and are visited by a magical character. But it had a much more profound meaning behind it. It was the character visits these children at home who feel like life is not being fair to them. And the character who visits tries to convince them that actually life is fair. And it's really a very beautiful story and very funny. There are wonderful lines. One of the children asks one of the villains in the story, "Do you mean that you actually punish human beings for not being 21-ish?" The idea that children are the victims. It just, there are some very, very funny things in the book.
Indeed. Well, the book is Overnight Sensation, The Life and Comedy of Alan Sherman. It is published by Brandeis. Mark Cohen, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Joe, it's been great. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Overweight Sensation, The Life and Comedy of Alan Sherman. Mark Cohen is the author. It's published by Brandeis. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Sarah Jockman, how's by you? How's by you? How's your brother Bernie?
He's a big attorney.
How's your sister Doris?
Still with William Morris.
How's your cousin Shirley?
She got married early.
How's her daughter Esther?
Skipped a whole semester.
How's your brother Bentley?
Feeling better mentally.
How's your cousin Ida?
She's a freedom